The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning to you. 4 minutes past nine this Wednesday, the 4th of October 2023. How are you all keeping? I do hope it's well today, as we wish you every morning a good day. Today's going to be a wet one. There's a yellow warning for Donegal today, a weather warning, rain. Didn't hear it mentioned on the national weather forecast, but anyway, it was issued, and it's going to be quite wet today. So be careful if you're out on the roads. But the good thing is that Friday, slight improvement. Saturday and Sunday and Monday, potentially, going to be really quite nice days. So that's something to look forward to. Right, you've got 3 hours of information and entertainment to look forward to here on the 9 till noon show. We want you involved in that conversation. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number. If you're on WhatsApp, feel free to send your voice messages into us as well. If you want to give us a call, it's 07491 25,000. And your emails, well, they arrive in our inbox via comments at highlandradio.com. And from time to time, we still receive a letter by post. Feel free. 9 till noon show, Mountaintop Letter Kenny, Highland Radio will get us. You know yourself. We're fantastic members of the postal service. You'd be amazed what they deliver. Does that still happen, though? Do still people still get random letters or letters that were, you know, maybe lost down the side of a sorting office or something? They come years later or with very limited addresses. Does that still happen? You know, we see those. I used to see those romantic stories from time to time. Did you have anything random land through the post with a random address or delayed? 086 60 25,000, let us know. The Finn Valley Voice this morning. A Finn Valley woman says having Micah in your home is like the grieving process. She was speaking at a meeting in Jackson's Hotel Ballybuffet on Monday night to give affected homeowners information about the enhanced effective block scheme. You go through fear, you go through anger, you go through a great sadness, and then you go through a numbness. And I'm in the numb stage now, she said. On to the Inish Times this morning. The organisers of a public meeting calling for the restoration of daycare services for elderly people at Carn Donagh Community Hospital have called for a strong turnout from the public across North Inish. The Committee for the Restoration of Services at Carn Donagh Community Hospital has called the meeting at the Colgan Hall in Carn Donagh on Friday night, saying this is an opportunity to educate people about the loss of the service. The daycare services for elderly patients were suspended due to the COVID-19 pandemic and have still not been reinstated, while such services in other parts of the county have been restored. The HSC has said it has identified substantial deficiencies which cannot be mitigated against within the current footprint of the building, and that an alternative location is likely to be the solution. We're going to be talking about that on the programme very shortly, obviously, because it's of a huge significance to that area. The Donegal Post, detectives probing the murder of a man whose body was found off Scenic Sleaf League have taken over 200 statements. The body of Robert Wilkin was found floating in waters off Sleaf League on July 3rd. That's continued coverage of that court appearance a little earlier this week. On to the Nationals now. Enoch Burke back in court yesterday. There were familiar scenes of disruption, the Irish Independent tells us, as members of Enoch Burke's family were removed from a courtroom by Gardaí during a hearing reviewing his continued detention for contempt of court. Around 10 Gardaí were present in the vicinity of the High Court for the hearing, which ended in Mr. Burke being returned to Mountjoy Prison after he refused to purchase contempt. Mr. Justice Mark Stanley, Stanley, directed the sacked schoolteacher's sister, Amy, and parents Sean and Martina be removed after they repeatedly shouted up at him from the body of the court. The interruptions continued even after the judge rose for 5 minutes, warning the man, warning that any further disruption would lead to those involved being ejected. Amy, Sean and Martina Burke all initially refused to leave. They were each eventually escorted out one by one. From the very outset of the hearing, Martina Burke began interrupting, repeatedly asking in a loud voice, can he be suspended for his Christian beliefs? The court's not dealing with what led to his suspension. The court is actually only dealing with his attendance at the grounds of the school. So, in other words, what they were really asking the judge to comment on is not actually the subject that he was sitting in that seat to rule on. It was the continued attendance at that school by Enoch Burke, not what led to that or the events before that. And he was given numerous opportunities to purge his contempt, which would have led to his instant release. In other words, to say, I commit not to attend that school since I've been sacked now. He refused to do so, and he's back in Mountjoy and won't be back before the courts, I don't think, until December. But at any point between now and then, he can purge his contempt. The Irish Times reports, as you heard from Donna Marie during the news, that the government has received two fresh warnings ahead of next week's budget, with the Economic and Social Research Institute forecasting today that growth will slow sharply, while the latest Exchequer figures published by the Department of Finance yesterday show further weakening in corporation tax. A corporation tax is now expected to undershoot levels forecast for this year. Minister for Finance, so that's the 15, 16, 24 billion that you hear talked about. That's the corporation tax. These are companies that operate here or are based here, and they pay tax on their profits. And it all depends on the activity that they're doing and how much money they move through the country and what have you. Those are the taxes that they often say we can't rely on because they might drop off. And you don't want to be planning long-term spending off the back of a tax that could disappear at anyone at any given time. So that's that conversation that happens all the time. It is slowing down, 25% drop in corporation tax, but the domestic economy continues to grow. Well, Mr. McGrath said the fall off in revenue from corporation tax, which have been driven by driven the huge surpluses of recent years, was a timely reminder of the need for careful management of our public finances. This is the second month in a row that corporation tax revenue have undershot expectations. So as we've talked about on this programme before, and listeners have spoken to us, you know, they're talking about potentially us being in a technical recession. I think a lot of people across the Northwest are living and have been living for the last year or so in a recession type environment, and people try to do business in that as well. The Irish Daily Mail, 6 foot high barriers will be deployed as part of a ring of steel at Leinster House on Budget Day next Tuesday amid concerns over a repeat of ugly protests seen last month. It'll just push the protests back. It sounds like a bit of a overreaction, but I suppose it might be easy for me to say, as I wasn't subject to the words. Bit of jostling, but words as well. Well, the budget's traditionally accompanied by peaceful demonstrations outside the Dáil, but this year security is set to be heightened following last month's protest where politicians, rocked the staff and journalists were blockaded inside. However, the protection operation is being hampered by the planned action by rank and file Gardaí in their dispute with management over changes to their roster. On to the Irish Daily Star this morning. Sinn Féin's unveiling its budget today. It's an alternative budget that will promise hikes in pensions, the children's allowance and all social welfare benefits, but hikes in social welfare and in certain areas that aren't as high as the government's proposing, or at least as being flagged in the media at the moment. Among the goodies they would give away is a weekly €15 increase to those on social welfare benefits over 18. People on different disability benefits would get €20 extra a week, and pensioners would get a €10 bump. There'd also be an extra €10 for every child in the weekly children's benefit. Well, it's not weekly, is it? It's monthly. But anyway, finance spokesperson Piers Doherty will be joined by party leader Marilyn McDonald at the launch in Dublin City Centre. The theme for the alternative budget will be housing, health, climate change and those with disabilities, we're told. Things could be changing as to how you acquire your medication. You might have heard this yesterday, but I thought I'd run through it in this morning's papers. It's in the Sun. People will soon be able to get the pill and other prescription meds directly from the chemist, which would make a lot of sense, I would imagine. Under new legislation approved by the Cabinet yesterday, there'll be no need to go to the doctor. It's part of a push to give pharmacies the power to treat minor ailments without patients needing to go to their GP. Ministers believe this will free up docs' times and make it easier to get GP appointments. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly has drafted the Health Miscellaneous Provisions Bill. This will make regulations to allow pharmacists supply some prescription-only medical products without a prescription once it's enacted into law. The Irish Pharmacy Union welcomed the move. Cathy Maher said pharmacists are highly trained and experienced in contraceptive care, having supplied emergency hormonal contraception to women without a prescription for over a decade. But it'll be interesting to see how far beyond that it goes. And I kind of mentioned the corporation tax, but I've flagged it again in another paper, so I'll probably skip that or turn it over and see if there's anything interesting on this page. No, there isn't. Okay, that was a run through the newspapers. Anything there you wish to comment on? I mentioned the numbers at the top of the show. We'll be back with our first guest on the programme after a quick break. Who we are as a community is how we treat the older people in our society. And it's claimed and it's provable that the senior people in a North Innishowen community have been left at home without support and care for over 2 years now, because the day centre at Carndonagh Community Hospital has not reopened post-COVID. Now, a meeting is taking place on this issue this coming Friday. It's an important one, and I think a large attendance is vital on an issue like this. Tony Doherty is committee member of the Restoration of Carndonagh Daycare Services. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Greg.
Thank you for joining us. So just remind us, pre-COVID, the services that were available at the Carndonagh Daycare Services and which are absent now.
So it was a service that was available 5 days per week at the hospital in Carndonagh, where you go to meet friends, you'd get a meal, music, low-level medical interventions, but mostly it was about socialising and meeting your old friends.
And that's all gone now. It was shut down through COVID and hasn't returned since. Are you buying the fact that the current building is not fit for the purpose? Like, what changed in those intervening years that means it's no longer fit for purpose?
So there was an IPC audit, which is Infection Prevention Control audit, that was carried out in the building, which highlighted deficiencies in the building, which meant that, according to the HSE authorities, that it was no longer fit for purpose. But we would contend that the issues that we've been given are all surmountable. Mm. And we'd like to have a meeting with the HSE to review those issues and to sort of break it down issue by issue, so we get the service resumed as soon as possible. I mean, Greg, this has been going on for we're almost 4 years now, since March 2020. And nobody has been getting the service since then. I mean, people have literally died for the want of the service being in place. So we're saying no more. We're saying we're having a public meeting in the Colgan Hall in Carndonagh at 7:30 this Friday evening to get a mandate from people and test their and get their viewpoints. And to bring this to government and to HSE and to pursue it. I would like to say that we've had very good feedback from our councillors. Seven of the nine councillors in Innishowen have all expressed support for this issue. Four of them are going to be there on the night: Albert Doherty, Johnny McGuinness, Patrick McDermott, and Martin Farn also hopes to be there. Our five TDs in the county, all of the five TDs have got in touch with the committee in various ways to say that they support what it is that we are doing. There's been, you know, there's going to be, two questions put in the dial in relation to this issue. We've also invited the HSE to the meeting. We invited Frank Morrison, who's the head of social care for the HSE, a community health organisation. He is unable to attend. Colin, who's the general manager for older person services, and I think there's an acting GAM in his place who's called Melissa Kelly. She's on holiday and she's unable to attend. Mary Butler, who's the minister for older people, she's unfortunately unable to attend as well. But what we do plan to do, Greg, is we plan to video the meeting just to get the feelings and get the sentiment and also to record it for posterity, because, you know, there's three things we're looking to do at this meeting. One is to bring people up to speed with what has happened or what has not happened over the last over 3.5 years on this issue. The second thing we're going to do is open it out to the floor, because this is a town hall meeting. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get people's views on the issue, and I know that there's going to be a number of people who are going to express their personal views on that and their experiences. And there's also going to be, you know, some professional people that are speaking who will be talking about the benefits of socialising old people, mental health outcomes and the longevity and the quality of life and medical outcomes,
Tony,
because of all of that.
If I'm not mistaken, I mean, a recent HICWA report identified some issues with the hospital, but said, generally speaking, it was fit for purpose. So there's money been spent on it and the chapel of rest and things like that there. So what element of it is problematic for daycare services? This is all on the one side, is it? Sorry, I'm not from the areas you would know, Tony.
Yeah,
I'm from further south in the county.
It's all on the one side.
So, they're spending money. HICWA seemed generally happy, though they identified some issues that have been resolved for certain work that goes on site. So what area of the site is used for the day services and what's wrong with it, if you understand? Because it's a bit of a confusing message, because, as I say, you know, HICWA seem to be quite happy with certain elements of the plot.
So I wish I could answer that question in its entirety. I'm an engineer, so I kind of like to deal with facts.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
And I've spent a lifetime working in this area. I've got my own small engineering company. So facilities management is what I've spent my whole life doing. And this issue is all around facilities management. Mm. What we've been given, Greg, is nine issues, right, that they have. And I'm not going to go through these nine issues with you here, if you'll excuse me, all right, because what they say is that it includes these nine issues, right? So it's kind of like a whole big catch-all, right? Now, in my experience of doing audits, and I would say I've done about 100 audits in pharmaceutical companies and aerospace companies, and this is just an audit, right? And in audits, you have three different categories. You've got observations, you've got minor non-conformances, and you've got major non-conformances. Mm-hmm. And the people who carry out these audits are no more intelligent than you and I are, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And no less intelligent either, right? So what I'm saying is there needs to be a dialogue in all of those issues, right? Now, I've kind of taken apart the nine issues, right? And I know if I was on the other side of an auditor, right, I'd be challenging each of those issues, right? None of those issues, the nine issues, in my opinion, are major non-conformances. And there needs to be a dialogue in relation to that. And I think there's an education piece that we need to be putting into the HSE here about how to mitigate against these issues. So it's not like if there's a non-conformance, the ball is burst and everybody goes home, which is kind of the message I'm getting at the moment, right? That doesn't happen in industry. It doesn't happen in pharmaceutical companies or aerospace companies. You come up with short-term, medium-term and long-term mitigation to ensure the continuity of the product or of the service. But what we've seen here is the ball is burst, doesn't conform, and we all go home, if you like, right? So, you know, I don't want to be giving out too much about the HSE with that. I'd like to be meeting with them.
Yeah.
I'd like for us to be able to hopefully educate them, all right? Because audits are awful things, right? They're really, really difficult and very stressful environments. But I'm pretty sure that we can collectively, and the community can come together and be part of that solution as well. You know, we can maybe help to, raise funds, you know, get companies involved, all right? You know, collectively, we can come up with a solution, because ultimately, Greg, what we want here is at Christmas time, we want people, old people, right, having their turkey in an environment, in a daycare centre environment.
I mean, it's only yesterday we were speaking to a loan, Tony, and they have over 180 older people across Donegal who have been assessed by the loan service for a befriending service. And they've been waiting months and months and months because the volunteers are simply not there. You know, like, how many of those maybe might not require that service if they were able to befriend people in this type of environment? Or in Buncrana, for example, I think Buncrana is in the same situation. You know, we really are letting our older people down. Tony, it's almost 2 years now, well, a year and a half certainly, that the HSE wrote off this facility, seemingly, because they instructed the property management, the HSC property management team, to find an alternative facility in Carndonagh. So that's a year and a half ago. So they effectively ruled out returning these services to Carndonagh Daycare Centre then. So do we know of any progress or any effort has been made by this HSC property team?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me? Hello, Tony.
Hello. Sorry, Greg, I just lost you there.
Right. No, I'm just saying, last January, the HSC said they'd instructed their... No, you can't hear me? Right, okay. We covered an awful lot of that with Tony, but the question is, and it'll come out, we'll get an answer. But as I say, in it's November of 2021, the HSC property team were tasked with finding a suitable alternative facility in Carndonagh. So, as I say, that is 2 years ago. So what's happened there? Nothing seemingly has, because we're still talking about, you know, getting these services back up and running. So, as I say, that's 2 years ago. Greg, Buncrana Community Hospital is the same as Carndonagh. Day services was stopped pre or during COVID, and it's never reopened. Why, I ask? Well, very, very important questions. We're joined in studio now by Francesca McDade, who is owner of Donegal Pet Crematorium. It's at Glack in Inch Island. Francesca's in with us now. Good morning to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you.
This is the first, is it?
It is, yeah.
Of its kind here in Donegal.
Yeah.
Why did you, or what brought you to the point where you saw a gap, you know, and what was the situation for people who wanted to cremate their pets prior to the establishment of this pet crematorium?
Well, Greg, my story began with the loss of my own pet. So sadly, last August, excuse me, we had to make the hard decision to put our own dog to sleep. She was in pain, and it was the only outcome after trying multiple different steroids and every possible thing that we could give her. So we decided that cremation would give it a go. Now, we travelled in the middle of the night. We left our home in Inch, travelled to Waterford, because the man in Waterford was the only man that could do Sheba for us on the day and allow mm-hmm. us to take her home. So we travelled down there, we handed over our dog, Sheba, and we headed out for a walk in Tremor Beach. We came back after I got a text to say that Sheba was ready for collection. And we got Sheba back, Greg. We got into the car, we drove home. We were delighted. It was surreal. From such a sad situation, mm-hmm. we left very, very happy. We went home with our pet. We have our kids. The kids all had their own small keepsake bottle of Sheba's ashes. Mm-hmm. There wasn't such a sense of loss.
No, that helped with them, I suppose, with that Sheba will always be with you. Or have you as parents wanted to relate that to them?
Yeah, and Sheba's still at home. You mm-hmm. know, we had a choice. We had a choice whether to keep her at home. We could bury her, you know.
Some might go to their favourite beach or something.
Exactly.
Wherever it might be.
A favourite spot. Mm-hmm. But we decided to keep her at home, and we still have her there. And it's just a nice thing, Greg.
I don't want to upset anyone, but what are the options? You know, say, for instance, if someone's dog passes, or cat or whatever it might be, do they tend to bury them?
Well,
if they're not cremating them, is it? Is there a service, or do people do that themselves? I've never thought about it. That's why it seems like a very basic question. But
well, as far as I'm aware, you know, if your pet passes at home, you really at the minute you have two options: is that you can take it to be cremated, mm-hmm. or usually bury it yourself. Some people tend to do that, but Greg, with the environment and legislation that everybody seems to be talking about, which is inevitable. Burying your animals and pets will be a thing.
And
the process is,
you know, I mean, you want to get it right as well, too, don't you? And it's especially if there's young people involved as well. So I can see where that would create its issues. So, like, what did you need to put in place to establish a crematorium for pets?
Well, Greg, our story began last year. So shortly after we came back with Sheba, we decided that, you know, I thought we all had such a positive experience for us all, that we decided, you know what, this would be a great facility to offer to the people of Donegal, surrounding areas, and the Northwest. So I spoke to other owners of crematoriums over Ireland, who are now my friends, and they advised me certain things, guidelines, what to do. So the first port of call that we established, Greg, was with the Department of Agriculture, mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, we are governed by them as well. And we had to get them on board to ensure that our facility, our premises, was going to be suitable and adequate for purpose. So once we got them on board, now that took a long time. That took from September until January. And once we had them on board and they said, yes, you can proceed, we're happy with everything, proceed to the planning stages. So that's what we done then. Mm. We proceeded then with planning, and then thankfully everything went through and we got up and running.
Yeah, and I mean sensitive, but you had to create a facility for this. It's is it a particular way in which this has to be done at a certain temperature and things like that?
Yeah, well, the premises, we have to establish flow charts, flow systems through the place. There is a whole process that goes on.
And a significant investment then.
Oh, yes, there is, yeah. So the machine as well. The machine, it wasn't just something that, you know, you just went out and bought.
I get you.
We had to do a lot of background research on the machine just to make sure it was fit for purpose and, you know.
Yeah,
sure,
and that's the sort of, I mean, that's important, but it's the box ticking in terms of, you know, the Department of Environment and all that kind of stuff and the practice of it. But really, it's... I presume it's the experience for the person who's lost a pet now that where your focus is at.
Yes,
do you know what I mean?
Great.
So talk to us a little bit about how you try and make it important or special and respectful to people who avail of the service.
Well, Greg, we're very lucky that our location where we have our premises, where Donegal Pet Crematorium is, it's a very scenic location with really nice views. We're overlooking Fawn down towards Buncrana, Lough Swilly. It's very peaceful. It's a convenient access and with ample parking. So when people come to us, they have the facility that they can bring their pet to us directly, or else now we are also registered with Hauliers through the Department of Agriculture, so we can collect from an individual's house or from the veterinary practices if they wish us to do so. And when they bring or when the pet arrives to us, if it was yourself that brought your pet to me now, Greg, we understand the sense of loss, the bereavement that people are going through. It's not just a dog, it's not just a cat. It's a big, important part in somebody's life. It's a family member. So we're lucky that we have a wee small farewell room. So people can go in, they can go in and we will lay out your pet. And they can go on and spend a bit of time with it.
I mean, for some people listening, it'd be like, you know, they don't get this. And for others, it'd be like, this is fantastic now that this is available. It really is, people are different, aren't they?
Absolutely.
And I think you know the people that you're talking to and who would get most benefit from this process and the way you do it. And you can draw on, and I would say it probably, as often does, goes through the whole family, your own, obviously your own loss, but your own love of pets. And you have an understanding how important pets can be to people who've, you know, lost them.
That's right. We're here, Greg, part of the process. Now, we've been working on this as well for the last few months, even before we actually started up trading. So we've this, and this is just my first sample copy that I've received. So we've put together a small brochure, I call it a bereavement pack. So for all my clients that have used our services, I'll be posting this out to them now.
There's a huge focus on the emotional impact of it.
Yeah. It is, Greg. It's a bereavement.
Yeah.
There's no other word for it. It's a loss. And like you said, I do understand there'll be people that will say, you know,
oh, but it's just not for them. And do you know, sometimes we comment on things that aren't for us, but if it's not for you,
exactly,
you know, focus on what is.
That's it. Exactly.
Pets, like what? Have you started the work yet?
We have, Greg.
So is it primarily dogs or?
No, Greg. Well, it's what we're licensed to. Cremate is any domestic pet. So we can cremate anything from a cat to a dog to a guinea pig to reptiles to birds. Now we have cremated dogs, cats, and we have done a hamster as well.
Really?
So it's very varied.
It's amazing how, you know, we associate, you know, a pet sort of, well, I do, I don't know. I didn't think someone would go to this effort for a hamster, but it just goes to show. Every day's a learning day.
It was really beautiful because the lady that trusted me with her hamster, he had his own TikTok channel and everything. And it was just lovely because it was sent videos to watch.
I think this is, obviously it's important for adults, but often the loss of a pet, and some parents and guardians and caregivers actually don't get pets because it's often the first loss young people will experience.
That's right. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Before maybe an older person or sibling or something, God forbid. But, you know, the first time that you realise that things aren't there forever for a child, it's often a pet, and it can be really, really difficult and stressful for them. And presume this is a tried and tested process that we do for humans.
Exactly.
It's there for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the way we say goodbye and remember. And
like that,
it's a process.
Like what you've said, it's very important. kids are at a very vulnerable stage, that it's not to make it that it's a positive thing, but to make it a bit easier.
But it's life, to make it, you see. Life, yeah. And life is cruel and tough, yeah. And you kind of have to learn, but you want to be able to do it in a way that's positive.
Exactly.
And you grow from it, and it prepares you for the future.
Exactly.
You are open now, but not officially open as such. Well, that is to say, you are officially opening, but there's a grand opening.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, we're fully approved by the Department of Agriculture, so we weren't allowed to trade until we had our green cert from them. And we have our green cert, so we're delighted about that. And we're having an opening day on the 20th of October from 2 to 4. And anybody and everybody is invited to come and see the premises.
And presumably you would offer, I don't know what they're called, urns or,
yes.
or different ways of transporting or storing or keeping or retaining the ashes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so we've different types of caskets and ceramic urns. Some people opt, like we spoke about earlier, for scatter tubes if they want to take their pet to a favourite spot. We also have small mementos, key rings, keepsakes that you can also put ashes into as well.
All right, okay. Which is what you did with Sheba for the family. And there's no issue in terms of moving a pet across the border if someone's listening in Derry, Tyrone, the wider north of Ireland?
Absolutely not. Now, once we have our green cert, we're allowed to accept animals from Northern Ireland. There's no problem there.
Okay. Well, the open day is on October 20th. It's between 2 and 4 p.m. It's an open invitation for people to come along and meet you and the team. And it's at Glack Inch Island, which is a beautiful part of our county. And, I mean, it's a great... It's hard to believe. I mean, that it's the first...
As far as we're aware, we're the first.
It's going to benefit a lot of people. Okay, well, listen, best of luck with it, unless there's anything you want to add, Francesca. If there's any more details that people want or want access to a brochure, or what's the story?
Yeah, anybody that has any information, they can give us a call. One thing I would say, Greg, and I know it's not something that anybody ever wants to think about, but it's better to be prepared.
Plan it,
So plan ahead. So sometimes when an animal passes, everybody's in shock. They're sad, they're upset. So it is advisable to maybe beforehand, if there's an animal at senior stage, even if not, give us a call. Everybody's more than welcome to come down, have a look at the facility, have a look and see that, you know, when it does happen, you know where you're going, that it's not such a shock, and that you've your choices, you know, you understand what choices are available.
All right, it's an interesting development. Francesca McDade, owner of Donegal Pet Crematorium at Glack Inch Island, thanks for calling in and having a chat.
Appreciate your
time.
Thank you.
Okay, that next guest just not there yet, Caroline. It's great that this is happening for animal lovers, but far more important is a human crematorium. So many families are travelling to Cavan, Belfast and Dublin with loved ones. This travelling, which is no surprise for Donegal citizens, is a disgrace and only adds to their grief. But there have been plans and efforts to establish a human crematorium, which I presume has a higher bar in terms of what's required, whether there might be objections locally or what have you. And there were plans well advanced for a crematorium. I believe they have stumbled at the planning stage. But there, as I say, there is the will to establish one. But there's a bit of nimbyism, I think, perhaps in these issues as well. My elderly mother passed away last December, and I'm very sorry to hear of your loss. My elderly mother passed away last December and went to the day centre in Boncrana one day per week. She missed it terribly during COVID, and after the restrictions were lifted, she would ask us all the time why she couldn't go back to the day centre. She went downhill after that. It was heartbreaking. Okay, so there's an example of the impact the lack of these services can have on people, because it's not only... that lady who went backwards in terms of her health. It's the family then that are, you know, it's the family then that are having to see that, which is heartbreaking. Greg, is it any wonder this country's falling apart? I'm in need of a plumber and most are too busy because my job is too small, or they want €400 to fit 4 radiators. You see, they can charge. I got really lucky with a local plumber actually come out and fit a couple of taps for me at short notice. Yep, Greg, war in Ukraine mustn't be too bad because they're going back for medical procedures. Indeed, I saw that. Okay, we'll come back to that. I want to say good morning to Karen Dubsky, who's Director of Coastwatch Ireland and Marine Biologist at Trinity College Dublin. Good morning to you, Karen. Thanks for your time.
Good morning.
It's great. I love your enthusiasm. You've lifted my mood already with that good morning. Thank you very much indeed. Right. Okay. So a Shaw survey took place at Lough Swilly just at the weekend, is it?
No, it goes on from the 15th of September to the 15th of October. People can join at any stage with a good low tide.
Okay.
It was extra low.
Okay, right, okay, which gave better access. What have we been observing, Karen?
Sorry. So the spot where we went in Lough Swilly, where we went to Lough Foyle on Saturday, Lough Swilly on Sunday. But let's go for the really amazing diversity on Lough Swilly at Key Shore. You know, below Blanket Nook. I took a quick look at Blanket Nook as well, which is... The landscape is beyond beautiful. And then as you go down the shore, you first think it's an average shore, mud and then boulders with seaweeds on them. But as the tide went really low, these hard sandbanks came up. And it was like the most magnificent chocolate box you've ever thought of, with all the different varieties spread out in front of you. Whelks and native oysters and sea urchins and you name it, the most beautiful variety. At the same time, also some bad things.
Talk to me about the bad things.
The bad things is that the Gigas oyster, the Japanese oyster, which was introduced for aquaculture, has increased unbelievably. It is starting to form actual reefs in some areas. It is covering some rocks altogether. I can send you some photos later and some video footage. So that our native animals, like the limpet, is being squeezed out. And it'd be my prediction, unless something really significant is done, that the native oyster will be totally squeezed out as well, because it's a much slower filter feeder. The Gigas oyster is like, and it sucks up a huge amount of plankton, while the native oyster is much more coy. It lives in a decent distance from each other in detached houses.
So the Gigas is then really, it is taking all the goodness and starving effectively the native oysters. Is it as simple as that?
As a scientist, I would say that would be my suspicion. But it's also that it takes over the habitat, the place where the Gigas, where the native oyster would live, and most other things. Because once they form reefs, on the positive side, if I was a Gigas, if I was representing Gigas, I would say, but other animals can live between me, and that is true. But it totally changes the loch. And from a human point of view, you can't walk there anymore once it forms a reef, because it's like razor blades. One of the people cut his hand quite nastily on one of the... It's like razor blades sticking up and you can't walk on it. In the Netherlands, in some areas, they have like wedge boots. Even for men, they walk in boots that width, so that the razors can't cut through into their feet.
But how do you... Gigas oysters were obviously introduced to the area. How would you get rid of them to allow the native oysters to flourish?
Well, the Gigas was supposed to not spawn. It's supposed to stay neatly in bags, on trestles, and mind its own business and be collected before it could spawn. Obviously, that didn't happen. And just to add, there's another invasive alien species in the loch as well, the slipper limpet. So you've got two invasives. My view would be that it is virtually impossible now that the genie is out of the bag to totally remove it. But you could selectively remove it from the most precious areas where you have the most valuable diversity yourself, and you don't do that by dredging. You do as much work by hand as possible. And Gigas oysters can be hit over the head, and when they open, a crab would come in and slurp it all out.
Yeah, but this is a byproduct of commercial activity, licensed commercial activity. Do you believe then that that needs to be reviewed?
Nowadays, most of the gigas oysters brought in now would be triploid, and your danger there would be more that herpes virus would be introduced and other diseases to really finish off what you have.
Mm.
However, it was in the past when, while licensed, they assumed that they wouldn't spawn, but they did.
Yeah.
So now, in terms of new licensing, my personal opinion is you do not put gigas oysters into areas of native oyster, and particularly not into internationally important sites which are protected as Natura 2000 sites like Loch Swilly.
We really have to be careful. We really have to be careful, don't we, with what we as humans, the damage we're doing. I mean, if you look at Loch Ness, the damage that's been done in Loch Ness, that will take, if possible, it would take action right now that would last for many, many decades to reverse that. We are perhaps engaged in activity now that could change Foyle to the point, or change Swilly, sorry, to the point whereby it is completely irreversible. Maybe it's not too late now. But we are having a really dramatic influence on our waterways, aren't we? And as I say, and perhaps as we've seen in Loch Ness, when you go so far, it can almost be to the point where you can no longer return. We really need to wake up in this area, I think.
I totally agree. And there's a very nice EU invasive alien species regulation where we really need, and now there's new nature restoration law as well, and there will be funding support. What we now need is to work with local people, which we should have done a long time ago, because local native oyster farmers did not want the first gigas oysters to go in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to defend what they had and what they really looked after. And I just want to say I was so pleased. The number of people who came out to survey, and such a mix of people who knew so much, and kids as well. Mm-hmm. It was just a joy.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be done with local people.
Yeah, but it's very important too, though, what we can do as individuals. But unfortunately, poor regulation, we seem to be victims of poor regulation, both on the ground and in the sea and in our waterways here in Donegal, because, you know, the government needs to see what's going on, or whichever organisation is responsible. Is there illegal activity going on? Are there grey areas that are being exploited? You know, we can only do so much and raise awareness with interviews like this, but we rely on the whomever has responsibility here to make sure legislation is enforced, that it's tightened up if need be, and that we aren't contravening EU regulations, which we'll end up having to pay for through fines anyway. So, you know, over to the regulators, I would suggest, Karen.
You are totally speaking from my heart. Yes. And as you're saying, grey area in Loch Foyle, it is mind-boggling that we have thousands upon thousands of trestles of gigas oysters with not a license, not one, between them. And it's also a democracy bypass, because the people can't have any say on a proposed license because there isn't a license proposed. And even in the protected bird area, we have the aquaculture going on. And if something should happen and the bottom fall out of the gigas oyster market, I wonder who will own those trestles and remove them.
Okay. Fascinating stuff. As I say, I think it's something we should all take an interest in. Karen Dubsky, Director of Coastwatch Ireland and Marine Biologist at Trinity College Dublin. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you.
Thank you. And please ask your listeners, Donegal has such a huge long coast. We need lots more people to go out and to record what they find on the shores.
Well, where do they go to find out more information then, Karen?
www.coastwatch.org, or phone Trish Murphy or Tom Hannigan, our regional coordinators for Donegal.
Thank you so very much indeed. That is Karen Dubsky there, and I mentioned her title. 086 60 25000. WhatsApps and texts coming to us on that number. Send your voice messages if you want to WhatsApp as well. Make contraception easier and easier to get. God forbid that babies come to be born. All part of the population reduction and the New World Order agenda, they say.
Really?
I don't know. Like, I have an open mind and I like to study things and research things. But, I mean, okay. We're hosting our first winter vaccination clinic in the community centre in Clonmany today. All the community are welcome to avail of this clinic. COVID-19 boosters, seasonal influenza and pneumococcal vaccines will be available at a walk-in vaccination clinic in the community centre in Clonmany tomorrow. That's today, I beg your pardon. From 9:30 a.m. to 1 p.m, 2:30 p.m. to 4 p.m. No appointment necessary. Non-initial and medical patients are also welcome. Thanks to Ange, practice manager, for passing on that information. All right, it is the 9 till noon show for this Wednesday. Loads to come, of course, over the next couple of hours. Stay right where you are as we take a break now for the news and obituary notices.